He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show on what has been a very active, not passive week by any stretch of the imagination. What I'm hoping for, and we'll talk about this during the show, is that the bond market, it just looks so oversold and so washed out to me that, if it starts to bottom here and starts to rally, we could have a good finish to 2023. But, of course, it depends on that bond market and interest rates. In the meantime, we got some stability in the markets today and actually a little bit of oomph behind them. The NASDAQ right now is up 87 points. And it has a strong foundation. I looked underneath at what was moving, and I liked what I saw. The NASDAQ's up 85 to 13,309. The Dow is up 56 to 34,126. The S&P 500 is up 16 to 4,346. Small caps up 0.25%. Crude oil up. Hanging around 91, I think maybe we've seen the top in oil. We'll see. Not at 92. Oil is up $1.29 today. Gold's up $6 to 1945. And while interest rates are not down, they are down 1 point. Big deal, 1 basis point. But they're at 4.47. We hit 4.48. I'm hoping that that's the peak because that looks awfully, awfully oversold on the bond market. To me at that point that it hit yesterday and caused the big spill in the market. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, I know, look, being in the market for over two decades, I know how emotions work on the minds of investors. After the last couple of days, that's all they can think is sell, sell, sell. But you've had a pretty big correction. I would be, personally, I'd be looking more at some strategic buys here. I think selling here would be a big mistake.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that, at least in this case, where, to me, where it's not quite as worrisome, right, when you see these moves, is the fact that, you know why, right, the market has gone down, and it's been strictly on that, 10-year rate side. It's not, PEs have gone down. It's not that, there's no new earnings, revisions, right, or downward expectations. So to me, the interest rate, deal, right, kind of fixes itself easier than if we had an earnings problem, right?
Yeah.
So that's where we're kind of in this, the
bottom
moment.
Line in the market is there's times in the market when you've got to sit tight and ride through some tough moves and corrections, etc. Overall, the S&P is still up 13-14% so far this year. The NASDAQ's still up about 20%. There's just some times when there's nothing you can do. You can't take a pill. Maybe take a pill. Take a chill pill. Take acetaminophen, a Tylenol, whatever, to calm your nerves. Because, there's a lot of things that transitory is the word I'm looking for. Interest rates, in a way, are transitory from day to day. And earnings
are not.
They're
self-correcting, right? They're self-correcting to a certain extent because the fact that, higher rates lead to less economic output, which in turn leads to lower interest rates, right?
Exactly.
So they are self-correcting.
So if we're sitting at 4.47 today, we're at 4.48, you got to go back to 2007. I'll find the exact date. I'll be writing about interest rates in the newsletter. It just looks to me like the bond market. I looked at a chart of the bond market, and I sent it out this morning, and I posted it on Twitter. I use just the ETF, which is IEF. That's the 10-year, 7 to 10-year treasury, which is pretty much, you know, the one that is watched by everybody. It looks so oversold and washed out, and I really don't see the big reason for it to sell off as much as it has done, which leads me to the opinion that it's way oversold. Now, having said that, if the bond market is way oversold and interest rates are sky high and ready to start moving back towards the norm, that's bullish for the high PE stocks. The ones that you hate the most the last couple of days are probably the ones that offer the most opportunity. Well, we had a huge down day yesterday. The Dow was down 370. The S&P was down 72. The NASDAQ was down 245 points yesterday, and it was the higher PE stocks, obviously, that got hit I said after the Fed announcement, I said the market usually throws a 2-day hissy fit. That was Wednesday right. And Thursday, and then you know maybe it's going to come to its senses. I like what I see so far in the market today.
Almost a quarter point hissy fit, and when it comes to the 10-year rate,
and I would you know the mentality of the investor. You know, you can look at it time after time is. They're selling when they should be buying, and they're buying when they should be selling because they buy on greed and they sell on fear. And those are a couple of emotions that can really get the best of you. Now, today, I don't think we'll see much change between the earnings estimates for next year and the year after that. I think they're going to remain pretty steady because we haven't had any earnings results. We've had just a few, FedEx and a couple others. But I think they're going to be pretty steady. I may have to adjust my multiple a little bit now, given where interest rates are today. But having said that, interest rates may not be where they are today 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now. And it seems to be like the course of least resistance here is for interest rates to go down from here. The 2-year hit 5.12, I think, 5.19, something like that at the high yesterday. But I would just say that those are extreme numbers at extreme ends of the market. You're hitting a 17-year high. It is a little disturbing that you got to go back to 2007 to find interest rates this high because what occurred after 2007 was 08 and 09. We had a major recession.
Yep, it was October of 2007 is where it kind of crossed that path.
Yeah,
Even though I was looking back before, I mean, you had in June of 2006, you were in that over five level. So it's interesting.
You got to remember, too, that that was a totally different reason causing that. All those banks were holding all of those bad loans out there,
exactly.
In the mortgage market, in a bloated mortgage market. So we don't have that condition here today. So I know, Gunderson, you're just a permeable. Oh, no, I'm not. I was very bearish all of last year because we were in a rising interest rate cycle, which finally kind of came to an end earlier this year. It's still hanging on longer than I thought it would because we've had inflation hang on a little bit longer than I thought it would. The oil spiking all of a sudden, that hasn't helped, but I think that's probably over. I would be on the greedy side here rather on the fearful side, but most individual investors are just opposite of that. So I'll be writing about that in the newsletter. I always back up everything I'm saying with charts, with facts, looking back on history, and with real numbers, okay, valuations. There's so much BS in the market today. Let me give you, for instance, yesterday it was Broadcom sold off 6%, 7% on a rumor that Google was going to ditch them as their chip supplier. Well, Google has said nothing has changed. Nothing has changed whatsoever. So there's a lot of BS in the market that you got to cut through. There's a lot of headlines in the market that... worse than I've ever seen in my life. The headlines I see on whether it's MSN, whether it's Google, I don't care what your homepage is, whether it's Yahoo Finance, There's just so much BS that you have to cut through. And I have to go to the raw data, the raw news, the unfiltered product, okay, to find the truth. And then I write about that, no spin, in my newsletter, which you can get 2 free weeks of by going to GundersonCapital.com. You're going to find no agenda in the newsletter. If I don't think the market looks good, and here I'm a guy that manages money in the market, I'll tell you that. And if I think that the market still looks good, I'll tell you that also. And I'll even get more specific and say where the best areas of the market are, if there are any. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, yesterday, obviously, the higher PE, I think Kathy Woods, the S&P was down, or the NASDAQ was down 2%. She was down about 3%. But I think, if interest rates start to turn around here and the bond market starts to put in the bottom and turn around, those are going to be the best places to be. The ones that nauseate you the most, the higher PE stuff is going to be the best place to be. And, a lot of people ran into low PE stocks and whatnot. They're going to underperform if we get this bond market turned around, which I think it's going to. Okay, the other area of the market that I saw yesterday just getting clobbered were the real estate sector. I think there's increases in default risk with the companies in that own shopping malls.
Yeah, particularly on the commercial real estate buildings. Side. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
I saw a lot of I've seen several REITs that have divested themselves of all of their office exposure. But that's a problem. But then, okay, now that's the bad. Now you go to the good. Only 201,000 people filed a jobless claim on Thursday.
Right.
That's about as low as it gets. So the labor market, I see it everywhere. I don't care. At least in our neck of the woods in the southeast here, I see job openings everywhere and help needed. Especially right now, because you've just
and they've never the, came. I mean, they've been there for five, 6 years since I've been in this area. I've seen businesses who never had short of a hurricane blowing the sign away. They always have a now hiring.
We
sign.
Are hiring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be part
so,
of their logo.
Yes. One of the other factors here. Okay, that has got interest rates going up. Like they have here, and fear kind of rocketing through the market. Kevin McCarthy's third attempt to avert a government shutdown fails. Now, we're talking next Friday, right? September 30th?
Yeah.
9 days left, 8 days now, before the government's new fiscal year. See, their fiscal year begins on October 1st. So a group of far right is what they're being called, Republicans, voted with Democrats to block a vote on a traditionally popular defense spending bill. A test vote to advance the bill failed 212 to 216. It was the third time that McCarthy has been thwarted in his efforts to make progress on funding the government. And, Ukraine is a big issue. And you got a lot of Democrats now that don't want to give more money to Ukraine, even though they're getting another $24 billion, I think, here today. In all, Congress needs to pass 12 appropriation bills to fund the federal government. They don't have to worry about the debt ceiling right now. But with Thursday's failure to make progress, the House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, sent legislators home for an extended weekend. He told them he'd give them ample notice if there were any votes. Upside potential, you know, they've been pretty bearish all year. I don't know why all of a sudden they would turn bullish, other than the market has come down and it's become more of a value proposition now. But you got to be really, you have to be selective in this market right now.
Or they're bearish, you know, their bearish tone was kind of incorrect for a period at the moment. I don't know if it has to do with that storm kind of coming up the Atlantic coast. That'll be interesting to see what happens here in Charleston this weekend. But trying to get Bill back here, but from a, you know, just from a kind of weak narrative, certainly interest rates. And we also got, as we've seen, some stability here today. We've got U.S. PMI numbers came in a little bit before the show, and they were both of them showed some weakness compared to what was expected. So we're, you know, that's probably putting a little bit of a damper too on rates. Thankfully, we've got the let's see, where are we at on rates here? We've got the 10-year Treasury down three. Looks like just about 3 basis points, so we're right there at 4.44% here. And from a, I'm waiting for Bill here to come on. We've got, all right, we've got, and from a market standpoint, looks like we've got NASDAQ up 0.45% today at 13,282. We've got the S&P up about a quarter point to 4,340, and Dow Jones up right at about 34,000. From a, you know, one of the big things out there, of course, Bill was talking about a government shutdown. Obviously, we've got the United Auto Workers also striking at the moment, or at least partially striking. They were meeting this morning here. I think it was actually right where we're on at the moment, but they're having a Facebook Live event today to try to get, I guess, you know, may potentially call for some other areas in which they may be striking. So that's some of the stories here in the news today. We've got the CEO Cook for Apple shaking hands out in front of a Apple store in New York City. So that's going on here at the moment as well. But, and from a, Bill's been real big on, been pretty big on Amazon from a business standpoint. They're actually going to begin streaming on Amazon Prime Video. They're going to start having, I guess, ad supported. So if you don't want ads, it'll cost you, I believe, another $2.99 a month to do so. But as we're winding out the end of the segment, we'll get our technical issues together and get Bill back on the line here in just a moment. But, of course, from a market perspective, it looks like things are finally kind of leveling out, and we'll see what happens with rates here as we keep moving through the show. But this is Barry Kite, and we'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second quarter, or second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I don't know. We had some kind of hiccup in the internet here. We do have a
Ophelia. I know. That's what I was saying. I don't know.
Moving up the coast. Now, it's way offshore. We've got some big swells here where I'm at today. We're going to get some rain, but I think it's actually going to sweep by us pretty far offshore and then hit somewhere up in the north of us, way north of us, like New York, et cetera, over the weekend. The NASDAQ's down, us up 110. Like I say, you know, the stocks you hated the most yesterday and the day before are the ones that are performing the best today. Bill Gross, okay, the bond king. He probably knows more about the bond market than anybody. He's convinced that bond investors will suffer an unprecedented third straight year of losses, even as the Federal Reserve nears the end of its tightening cycle. Well, that doesn't mean he doesn't think interest rates will go down from where they're at now, but he says when all is said and done by the end of the year, the bond market is going to be in the red for the third straight year, which is unprecedented. I mean, Bill Gross was the recipient of the longest bond market rally.
Benefit, yeah. Right.
Yes. And, in fact, at one time,
not a bad entry point.
The Simco Total Return Fund was the biggest mutual fund in the world. Why? Because, you know, you go from the late 70s when interest rates were at 16% and clear down to 1 like 35 years later, that's the longest bull market of in history of the bond market. But that all came to an end, obviously, when the Fed started hinting at raising rates a little bit after the COVID year. He thinks that rates will remain above 4% even when the Fed starts cutting. And, you know, the reasons he gives, now this is something that we haven't mentioned yet, all right? Yes, the government shutdown is very probable next week, but they're doing it for a reason. They're trying to send the message that spending is out of control. And Bill Gross says that widening deficits resulting from government fiscal spending will hinder bond prices. Now, there's another thing, there's another piece of evidence that we haven't talked about here recently as a reason for this explosion in interest rates. There's another factor too. Imagine the bonds that the Fed is holding, Barry, on their balance sheet.
Right.
Those bonds are down in value, right? Considerably.
Well, and they have been unwinding their balance sheet too, right? So they've sold.
Yeah.
You know, they've also been selling in. Some of this, right, has been, of course, a supply issue, right? There was a lot of supply out there, whether it was the government reselling new debt, right, or the Fed. You know, they've been talking about that they've been. I think I mentioned it. It was one of the first times I heard Powell mention it a couple of meetings ago. In terms of, you know, basically trimming their balance sheet, which means they're selling bonds, which creates even more supply. So
yeah.
Now, if they're selling them, at a lower rate.
Absolutely. Now, the other factor here is, you know, our plan is to hold bonds to maturity, which takes away the interest rate risk. Unless you're going to sell, you know, before they mature, at that point in time, you know, you're at the mercy of interest rates. But that's the way to get around that. You can get some, you could get 5 to 6%, like I say, 5.5 to 6% for the next several years, just by owning some corporate bonds, even 2-year treasuries, 5.10 right now. And doing nothing, okay, but holding them to maturity. Okay, UBS says that a soft landing seems more plausible after Wednesday's FOMC meeting. Well, that's because the Fed did not hike interest rates, but what they said did hike interest rates. But so far, we're not really seeing the interest rate hikes. You know, and I go back to the jobs market. The jobs market remains very, very strong. You have a worker shortage. There's your biggest problem, supply and demand. Carlyle Research. Everybody should be paying more attention to the AI revolution. Well, I thought that the AI revolution had come to a halt. It was all over five, 6 weeks ago. But they're saying that you have to look to other areas outside of just, you know, like ChatGPT and this kind of thing. But they feel that drug discovery is going to be a big recipient of AI, which obviously can, you know, process a lot more data than humans can. So anyways, that's what they're saying. And they're looking at stocks like, well, they like SMCI, Salesforce, CrowdStrike, even Caterpillar as being AI players. Apple phones go on sale. I think today's the day. Yes, today is the day. They officially went on sale. So we're going to not just get forecast next week. We're going to get some actual numbers coming out of Apple.
Yeah, Tim Cook was I saw a story where there was a line, at least a few people, and Tim Cook was shaking hands and taking selfies with folks. I guess that's what you call it, with two people. But the in line at the store in New York this morning. So yeah, it's officially on sale.
All right. Well, Wedbush says that the demand for the Pro model remains very strong. Okay. Another stock that you might want to look at, I mean, it kind of began the revolution this year, was Microsoft with ChatGPT. Microsoft has sold off, it was at 366, now it's at 320. That's about an 11% correction that Microsoft has gone through. I personally think that that puts Microsoft into a buying situation once again. And J.P. Morgan agrees with me. And I agree with them for once in my life. Microsoft revenue boost from AI requires patience, says J.P. Morgan, but it's coming. They have a $385 target price, which is considerably higher than the $320 that it's at now. McDonald's raises their royalty fees for the first time in 30 years. From, you know, if you're a franchisee, you got to pay McDonald's 4% royalty. They're raising that to 5%. Let me just see if that's moving the needle on McDonald's at all. Not really. It's up just a tiny little bit here today. We've also got a new drug breakthrough from AstraZeneca, AZN, in breast cancer. And this one is an actual drug in lieu of chemotherapy. And they're finding out that the drug, which I can't even pronounce, there are so many things here. I'd have to have artificial intelligence say these two words.
Yeah, I always like when
maybe
you,
it can figure it out.
You always know how to tackle those things better than I do.
Well, you know, I take a shot at it, but I would just say this. I mean, I would rather take a drug than go through chemotherapy. And they're getting better results from the drug than from chemotherapy. So AstraZeneca, AZN, which is based out of the United Kingdom, is up 2% today on that news. Sam Bankman tried to get out of prison on another bail. He says the internet's not any good in prison. Now, I don't know. Mine went out here, Sam. You know, and I'm in a pretty hot spot here for the internet. But he says he can't prepare his case without the internet. And he wants the judge to let him out of prison, and the judge says no. Target gets a buy rating after possible bottoming. You know what? As I looked at the charts yesterday, I said ugly chart of the day, besides the bond market itself, was Target. Target has just had a terrible year. They're down 22%. Target has lost one-fourth of its value. And, you know, the recipient on the other end, which is hitting new highs, is Walmart.
Oh, I was about to
Walmart
say chart.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was about to say lay over a 12-month chart with both of those names and see which ones are going in opposite directions.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and then lastly, Citigroup is liking Facebook or Meta. I am, too, at this level. They have a $385 price target. Now, again, these are the stocks that you hated that caused pain in your stomach yesterday and the day before. But if interest rates are going to start going down, if we've seen a top and an oversold bond market, then these are the stocks you want to own as interest rates start to go down between now and the end of the year. And I would say we may be setting up for a pretty good end of the year over the next 3-plus months. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Newsletter coming out tomorrow, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry, I got a question for you. Does Gordie Howe still play for the Detroit Red Wings? I don't think he plays. He plays for God's team, I guess.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if he plays on Earth here anymore.
He was one of my favorite hockey players of all time. Well, anyways, the reason I bring that up is because we're headed for Detroit October 17th, 18th, and 19th, which is a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, will be at the DoubleTree Hotel. Get the name of that thing here. I can't think of it. It's got a funny name, but it is the DoubleTree there that we'll be at. And if you'd like to meet, this is a rare opportunity. The girls want to go to a Our back office, I've got a hockey fan from Michigan who grew up in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, she's a big Red Wings fan. So,
yes, so I want to get seats right behind the glass, you know, where the guys whack into the glass. You know, your hot dog goes flying and stuff like that. I grew up watching hockey, believe it or not, in San Diego. A real hockey town. We had a minor league team there that was pretty exciting. And my best friend growing up was Canadian from Calgary. So we went to a heck of a lot of hockey games in San Diego, watching the San Diego Gulls.
Yeah, well, and I'm very familiar with the Red Wings from as a kid that grew up in Florida on the Gulf Coast. They didn't have hockey teams in Florida at that time. The Lightning nor the Panthers existed, but I learned the rules of hockey playing a hockey video game with the Red Wings in like the late 80s, early 90s, I think. So that's how I learned what icing and everything else was. So.
Did you know Del Vecchio and all the other players?
It was when the Russian group was there. So you had Iserman, Fedorov, I think Konstantinov, and some other folks.
But we'll be there, and probably at the Red Wing game, maybe Wednesday night or whatever. But we'll be meeting with the folks during the day, between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. If you'd like, it's a rare opportunity to meet with myself and Barry, you know, you can set up an appointment with us by calling 855-611-BEST. Talk to Edie. She's the appointment setter. 855-611-BEST. Or go on our website at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. And we'll see you in Detroit. Hopefully the strike will be over by then. I see Ford is up 3% today. I'm not sure if that means there's good news on the strike.
Yeah, there was, and they were speaking at around 10 o'clock today on I guess some kind of Facebook live event. But I saw some news where I guess Ford has made quote unquote the most progress. They were talking with the UAW. So I guess someone has to go first, right? So that could be in line with the reasoning. So.
Hey, Lynn. Well. That's all I know is the cost of electric vehicles are going higher.
Yeah.
Anyways, the cost of EVs with labor costs and whatnot, definitely going higher. Okay, well, Meta Platforms. I'm looking at the winners in the market today. Definitely the stocks that you love to hate yesterday. Meta's up 3% here today. BorgWarner, which is an auto supplier, is up 2.8% today. Lam Research is up 2.4% today. Seagate up 2.2%. KLA-Tencor up 2%. Micron up 2%. It's all tech. It's all high PE stocks. And even though interest rates are only down one basis point today, I think that the tech stocks are looking beyond this spike. It's an abnormal spike. It's way beyond the mean. And generally speaking, just from a mathematical point of view, you got to snap back more towards the mean here. I'll be showing that in the newsletter, how extreme the sell-off in the bond market has been and how extremely oversold that the bond market is right now. I think that the tech investors sense that, and they're in there cobbling up Amazon, most of your big names here in the NASDAQ. The Dow, yeah, there's not much leadership there. I would just say there that it's the tech that's leading, Apple. The energy stocks are having a pretty good day because oil is up a little over a dollar today. We're going to keep our eye on United Healthcare. It had a big jump yesterday in the face of the big sell-off in the Dow. That was kind of unusual to see, but it is. And I can make a case for United Healthcare, 85% upside potential.
Yeah, you mentioned them yesterday on the show.
Something I'll be looking at here today. There's a couple that are on the on my hit list that we own. That I'm a little bit worried about. We've owned them for a while. They haven't done anything. There's risk there. Why be holding them if they're not going anywhere? And at the same time, you've got that risk. I may want to lower that risk just a little bit. ASM is having a good day. Broadcom, where you had the false rumor come out yesterday, I would think that would be a buy here. It went down 6% yesterday, and it's only coming back 1.6% today after they said, hey, you know, there's nothing to this rumor that Google is going to cut us. Okay, two free weeks of the newsletter. I'll be putting a lot of work into that between now and tomorrow afternoon. I'm especially going to look at interest rates. I'm going to kind of take a look at what I think can happen between now and the end of the year. And some real extreme circumstances that are out there in the market right now. You know, that's the multiple side of the equation. The other side of the equation is the earnings side of the equation. And the earnings side of the equation hasn't changed at all. It's all been in the multiple side. But I will be updating the earnings side of the equation along with my target price. Believe it or not, the average 12-month target price for the S&P right now is 5,100. And here we are sitting at 4,400. So you've had some value added to the market this week. If we can get this bond market settled down, get it to bottom, and get it to slowly start moving back the other way, which obviously would bring interest rates down, multiples could expand, and Meta platform investors could be happy again, and NVIDIA investors, etc. Get two free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Set up an appointment with us in Detroit, October 17th, 18th, and 19th at GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.